Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a little bit later in the show, we're going to have the phone lines open for you and anything and everything that you want to talk about. You can be heard all across Montana, and you get a chance to hear what other folks across the state have to say this morning as well. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk first, though. Coming up after our first break, we've got a great guest who's going to join us, Toole County Sheriff Tyler Padilla out of Shelby, Montana, will be with us right after the next break. And we're going to be talking more about those Trende Aragua illegal alien gang members who were arrested and, as I understand, already being deported, according to the U.S. Border Patrol Havre sector. We broke that big news on our Montana Talks website. And then I reached out to the U.S. Attorney's Office, got a hold of some of the federal court documents, including the sworn affidavit by a Border Patrol agent in Sweetgrass, Montana. And we got some more details on that story. But suspicion confirmed. As I suspected, these Trende Aragua operatives, or at least the United States citizen who was helping to smuggle these illegal aliens in this country, were on the radar of federal law enforcement before this year. But now with President Trump, our federal law enforcement are finally able to do their jobs and secure this country. We're going to talk about that and more with the Toole County Sheriff, who has been whose office has been an important part of this investigation here as well. First, though, let me tell you about some news out of the U.S. Attorney's Office yesterday. I've got a headline on our Montana Talks website right now. Why the FBI will intensify its presence in Montana. Tell you what, this is great news. This is exactly what we expected would happen as well. FBI Director Kash Patel, you know, he's talking about, you know, doing away with all of that self-licking ice cream cone and the Washington, D.C. bureaucracy. Hey, you got, what, 1,000 FBI personnel in the Washington headquarters. Couldn't we use some of those people back on the streets, back here in places like Montana? Yes, we can. And yes, some of them will be coming back. This was the headline from the press release, U.S. Justice Department to surge resources to Indian country to investigate unresolved violent crimes. I'll tell you more about that story here later in the hour. But first, we'll get to the Toole County Sheriff coming up right after this. For more on these Trende Aragua illegal aliens that were arrested in Shelby, Montana, and the U.S. citizen who was arrested that was housing them in Shelby, Montana as well. How many more illegal aliens have they run across in places like Toole County, Montana? We'll find out the answer to that question and much more with the sheriff right after this, right here on Montana Talks.
Tackling the issues that shape our state, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here with Toole County Sheriff Tyler Padilla. Grew up in Conrad, Montana. Now the sheriff based out of Shelby. Sheriff, great to have you on the show this morning. First off, hats off to you and your deputies. I read that whole Border Patrol affidavit in federal court, and your office played a key role in bringing these Trende Aragua operatives and their smuggler to justice, it sounds like.
Yeah, we work very well with Border Patrol. So,
what? And as I understand it, there were local citizen tips that played a key role in this as well.
Yes, we had some tips, and a lot of it was kind of related to noise disturbances and things that just kind of seem out of the ordinary for a smaller community like Shelby and in Toll County. And the tips kind of just give us that initial contact with subjects like this. And then from there, like I said, if things are out of the ordinary, it kind of leads into the investigation of when we meet somebody that's new to Shelby, they don't have a job, they're not setting roots, and they speak very, very broken English. We kind of do that cooperation and field work with Border Patrol, let them know, hey, this is some information that we have if you guys want to look into it. And they start their investigation. From there, we kind of just collaborate together and bounce off of federal code versus state statute that we can work with.
What's the difference like now to, say, 1 year ago even, and the difference in you trying to enforce the law and then also working with Border Patrol? I can just imagine they were frustrated at knowing that we had these illegal aliens here in Montana, but then simultaneously oftentimes not being allowed to do anything about it.
Yeah, I think now the big difference is actually being able to get successful prosecutions out of immigration violations. And that, I think, falls on now. Like I said, we can get these individuals off the streets and it has an actual result rather than a year ago. I mean, we were arresting illegal immigrants and Border Patrol would take them into custody. They would essentially be processed and then they would be directed to release them, and they would just be back into our community. The only thing we really got out of it was information about that person and documentation that they are here illegally.
Wow, I can't imagine how frustrating that would have to be. You, your deputies, you go do the job to protect the American people. These people are violating our laws. They're in this country illegally. You do the job. You arrest them, hand them over to Border Patrol, and then Border Patrol is forced to put them back out on the streets. How often did that occur, or does that occur, or how often do you have these interactions with illegal aliens in little old Shelby, Montana?
Being that we actually are the last county up until the country border, we have interactions with them a lot. I would say over the last few years, we've had a dozen, if not more, contacts. And that's with our deputies working Stone Garden, which is a federally funded grant that we get to assist Border Patrol. And we're actually assigned to covering areas of our border within our county. And with that, we would be involved in operations of either knowing that we're going to have crossings coming or just catching them kind of on the fly. And really, like, once we got that assignment, it was a little bit frustrating when we would realize, oh, okay, they're just getting dropped off at our gas station or at our train station so that they can go to the next town. So the change now is a lot better.
Yeah. How surprised were you, if at all, that there were actual Trinde Aragua operatives in Shelby that were living at this woman's house?
Honestly, not very surprised. I think a lot of it, we knew that they were close by, and I guess by close by, Colorado is the big area that they were reported to be, and Colorado is about 12 and a half, 13 hour drive from our area. So it doesn't take a lot. It's a half a day's trip to get from one state over there to Montana, and I think, like I said, being so close, or being the last resort, basically, until you can cross the border. Shelby is kind of that location of, we have several hotels and motels, gas stations. It's a smaller community, so people tend to think that they can hide out a lot more. So knowing that they were there, and the background that we had on this individual, it wasn't super surprising that she was actually involved in this situation.
Yeah, because I read that affidavit. It's like, okay, here's a woman who was already convicted of smuggling illegal aliens down in California. And when I read through this affidavit, I'm like, wait a minute, this lady had to be on Border Patrol's radar, and maybe even local law enforcement's radar, long before when she was arrested last month. And it sounds like that is very clearly the case. It's just the Biden regime was ordering local Border Patrol to do nothing about it. I mean, that's what people just don't understand, that some of the people that still defend what took place over the last 4 years is they don't understand how deliberate all of this actually was. And the fallout that it's caused all across not just the High Line of Montana, but across the entire country. I got to take a quick break. Sheriff Padilla, if you got to run, I understand. But if you can't, stand by. I want to go back to you, see if there's anything you want to tell folks all across Montana. And then we'll open up the phone lines as well after that.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals help fuel my love for acting. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, since we chatted all the way up till that last break there, I definitely want to give Sheriff Padilla an opportunity. If he's got a message he wants to share with folks across Montana, or if there's something else regarding this Trende Aragua story out of Shelby that he wants to add, I definitely want to give him the opportunity. Sheriff, thanks again for sticking with us. Yeah, what do you want to tell folks across Montana?
To say that we definitely do see the influx in illegal immigration. For instance, I believe 2 days ago we had another individual that was apprehended, basic traffic stop from out of state. He had been in the country for 14 years undocumented, never had contact with law enforcement. And what happened is he had an ID and everything with him. Just happened to have no record of ever entering the country legally. I think a part of working with Border Patrol and several agencies across the state is our basic thing is if you are here legally, do the right things, and want to live in the United States, it's 100% acceptable. All we are looking for is that everything's done legally so that we do have the information and knowledge of people being here that are able to get jobs, be able to accept the benefits that we have, stuff like that. So there definitely is a big immigration problem, but I think with this administration, we will start to see a change in enforcement for that.
That's right. Real quick, that was interesting what you said about this illegal alien that was just pulled over, a couple of days ago. You said he had an ID card. What kind of ID card did he have? Because it seems like there's people that want to create certain ID cards so that these illegal aliens have the appearance of legality when legality does not exist.
Yeah, so he actually had a driver's license out of Illinois, and kind of unknown at that point of how he obtained the driver's license, but in similar situations like that, he spoke very broken English, and his story just doesn't add up as to where they're going, where they're coming from, and the purpose of their trip. We make conversation with people. A lot of it is, oh, you're coming to Montana, and you're not from Montana. Are you here for business? Are you here for vacation? Just out of curiosity. And when things don't add up with that, it kind of throws those flags to where our deputies contacted Border Patrol and said, hey, this doesn't seem right. And Border Patrol was able to actually find out that there was no documentation of him ever entering the country. He does. I'm from Mexico, but I have a Chicago driver's license.
Wow. That's fascinating insight. Great job by you and your team, Sheriff Padilla. Appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah, that reminds me, one of these days I need to do a special write-up on our Montana Talks website, just like we heard from Sheriff Padilla there. You know, we see some reports. I've been doing reports about some of these more high-profile arrests, you know, like the Trinidad and Aragua gang members that were arrested and deported out of Bozeman and Belgrade. We saw the high-profile drug arrests in Wolf Point, for example. I shared that. I don't know if a number of other media sources did that story or not. Thanks to our tipsters in Wolf Point and along the High Line, that's how we got the news there, and then shared it on the statewide level. But there are a lot more illegal aliens being arrested and deported in Montana now, and a lot of times we don't hear about it. It's just like the sheriff was just saying, "Hey, 2 days ago they found somebody else." And so, yeah, appreciate the sheriff's time this morning. But I was talking with Yellowstone County District Court Judge Ashley Harada several days ago, and she told me, yeah, she's got illegal aliens that have been coming through her courtroom in Yellowstone County. And, you know, before, okay, she would sentence them, whatever, they'd have the case, and then turn them over to ICE, and then who knows what happened. Well, we know what happened after that. ICE was then told to put these people back out on the streets, right? Now, she says, they're coming in. I see these illegal aliens come through my courtroom, and now they're either being thrown behind bars somewhere or they're being deported. And so it's huge that is happening. All right, that takes me to this big story out of the U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, and the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Montana that I want to talk about next. But first, let's go into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation, Mike in Bozeman has been waiting on hold, just absolutely could not wait for open phones time here on the show. Mike, what's on your mind this morning?
I want to mention the current conditions that we find our Constitution in relation to the left. 20 years ago, I went back to school at age 49 and majored in political science up here at MSU. And one of the things that the professorship mentioned was having, quote-unquote, flexibility in the Constitution. But what that means in real-world terms is a living constitution. And what that further means is the long-term pressures in a leftward direction by the judicial system has slowly, over the decades, pushed the center line of the central original meaning of our constitution in a leftward direction that makes it so that we find it easier for an administration like Biden's to be able to come along and do all the illegal crap they did because they could get away with it, and knowing that as they continued to push leftward and didn't get pushed back clear to the center of the original meaning of the Constitution, they were going to be able to get away with introducing communism into our culture and into our society. And that's what we saw this last administration, and that's why they are in such a knot in their tail over the way the way Trump and Musk are handling things and doing things and changing things. And I am just so thrilled that Trump and Musk are doing what they're doing. I pray that neither one of them get droned. That's one of Dan Bongino's biggest concerns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
no.
That's basically the gist of my comment.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Great point here. We saw lawlessness run amok during the Biden years, as this conversation with the sheriff just reminds us of once again here. They wanted to be able to do anything they wanted to do with your money, putting it in the pockets of all their buddies, putting it in the pockets of these left-wing NGOs to launch this human trafficking operation across our southern border and, as you heard, northern border too. And now when, they basically opened up the floodgates for crime, for illegal aliens, for inflation, and now that Donald Trump is trying to fix everything and turn everything around, they're, as Jonathan Turley pointed out, they're using these Lilliputian-style attacks to try to tie him down in 100 different directions to keep him from cleaning up the mess that they created. It's exactly what they're doing right now. And it was all deliberate. Yesterday when John Jackson, the Joker from X, was in the house with us, I mentioned this story out of the liberal Montana Free Press. And I think I already recycled the story now, but you guys remember me talking about it yesterday. It was this big story about crime and violence on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation and how a bunch of locals were holding these protests, holding these rallies to rally against the violence on the reservation in Fort Peck and Wolf Point, Poplar. And nowhere in this article was there any mention of the Mexican drug cartels, Tren de Aragua, open borders, you name it. Now, at least the author of the article, the white girl that's the Indigenous Affairs reporter, mentioned the need for more federal law enforcement. But for the last how many years, we've been talking about the need for more federal law enforcement. But this was the pattern. We have seen this. And so why would a liberal news source here in Montana refuse? Why do so many of the news sources refuse to call the sheriff in Toole County, refuse to call the U.S. Attorney's Office, refuse to report more details about the Tren de Aragua arrests in Shelby, Montana? Because they are covering for these liberal judges that are launching these Lilliputian attacks against Donald J. Trump. Just like they covered for Joe Biden and John Tester, who facilitated this invasion of our country in the first place. Now they're pumping out biased coverage every day to try to slow down the response to clean up this invasion. But what about more federal law enforcement resources in Indian country? Well, that's exactly what the U.S. Justice Department announced yesterday. They're surging FBI assets across the country to address unresolved violent crimes in Indian country. The FBI is sending in 60 personnel, rotating in 90-day temporary duty assignments over a six-month period. This operation is the longest and most intense national deployment of FBI resources to address Indian country crime to date. And they're going to support the FBI field office in Salt Lake City, which covers down on Montana. Particularly, FBI personnel will be assisted by the Bureau of Indian Affairs Missing and Murdered Unit, and they're going to use the latest forensic evidence processing tools to solve cases and hold perpetrators accountable. Some of these numbers: at the beginning of FY 2025, the FBI's Indian Country program had approximately 4,300 open investigations, including over 900 death investigations, 1,000 child abuse investigations, and more than 500 domestic violence and adult sexual abuse investigations. This is what the Biden regime ignored while they facilitated the illegal alien invasion of this country that caused particular harm all across Indian country.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Today, the United States will officially impose new tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, sparking concern over retaliatory tariffs, especially in the cattle industry. Senator Steve Daines told me that he raised the issue directly with President Trump this week.
President Trump called me this morning because he heard I was expressing concerns. We had about a 20-minute conversation, and I told him, Mr. President, look, my Montana farmers and ranchers, these are your people. They voted for you last November, but I got to tell you, they are concerned right now about the impact of possibly reducing the ability to supply a very important market like Canada, not to mention the rest of the world.
Canada's proposed 25% tariff on U.S. live cattle could reduce bidding from Canadian feedlots on Montana calves this summer. The most recent data shows Montana led the nation in live cattle exports, accounting for 40% of U.S. exports to Canada, valued at $144 million.
And Montana is impacted more by Canadian trade disputes than any other state in the United States. We have a higher percentage of trade with Canada than any other state in the United States. And so this particularly hits home with us. The president understood my concerns. He heard it. And I told him, I says, I want to stay in close contact with you because I'm listening to my farmers and ranchers. It's our number one economic driver in Montana. And I tell you, if that starts to get hurt, you know, we've got problems in our great state. And it hurts some of the best people in our state, and that's our farmers and our ranchers.
I'm Wayne Nordblatt.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had to take advantage of that last break there to go check the Montana Free Press website. So the white girl that is the Indigenous Affairs reporter, see, here's the deal. If you're some white liberal news reporter and you want to get easy money, just call yourself the Indigenous Affairs reporter, and other white liberals will fall all over themselves to give you cash. It's like Alfred B. But your job, though, is to make sure that you do not actually cover the news that affects Indian country. You have to continue to push the Democrat Party narrative here. But I checked their website because, you know, they had this big story earlier in the week about crime and violence in Indian country. You know, the story that didn't mention, you know, drug cartels and Tren de Aragua, open borders, you know, the things that are causing a lot of these problems, according to tribal leaders themselves. So I thought, well, you know, at least they had acknowledged the need for more federal law enforcement on our reservations. But then, boom, here comes this big news yesterday about more federal law enforcement to assist Indian country. Ah, nothing on their website. Just check their website. Nothing on their website. So do they really care about more federal law enforcement in Indian country? And if they actually cared about crime and violence in Indian country, then why have they consistently carried the water for the Democrat Party and the very people who have targeted Indian country with these illegal lands? And why have they consistently downplayed the effects of open borders? I'm going to get back to this story in just a second. January 6th. How many times did we hear about January 6th? I remember reading that 40% of all of the FBI agents across the FBI, 40% of the FBI agents had been tasked to investigate January 6th. I mean, there were hundreds of riots all across America where precincts were burned to the ground and businesses were burned to the ground. But January 6th, 40% of FBI agents, Biden forced them to waste their time on January 6th. And meanwhile, look at all of these open investigations across the FBI, just in Indian country alone. I'll talk more about that here in a second. Plus, we got some messages that came in on the Montana Talks app, and phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0971. So let me tell you some really cool news here. I got to meet this guy. Remember when I was in Washington, D.C. for President Trump's inauguration? And remember how cold it was on Inauguration Day? A lot of us were planning to be outside to watch the inauguration out on the Capitol Mall. And then we all went indoors. But we had a great crew of Montanans indoors all watching the inauguration together. I meet this great guy. He's a Marine Corps veteran, Lee, based out of Big Fork, Montana. He was there with some other mutual friends out of Big Fork, Montana. Great guy, airborne qualified Marine Corps veteran. Wait, anyway, he started telling me about this Made in Montana product, this product that he created, this product that he built. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid. And he said, hey, when I get back home from D.C. from inauguration, I'm going to send you some samples of this. I said, yeah, please do. I'd love to try it out because you guys know me. I'm one of those, if I don't move, I can't move type of guys. You know, you've got back pain, you've got, you know, different kind, you know, shoulder pain, neck pain, et cetera, right? Sometimes because of those airborne operations, right? And so, but, so sometimes, you know, you get pain when you move, you get pain when you exercise or whatever, but that pain is better than the pain you get from not moving. So don't move, can't move. Well, in Montana, we work hard, but we play even harder. But that doesn't mean that we have to suffer through pain. So what Lee created is this Power Plus Pain Aid. You know, like when you're at the gas station and you see those tiny bottles, those little energy bottles to give you some energy? Well, it's kind of like that, but way better. Because what this thing does, it gives you energy, it gives you the power, plus it gives you the vitamins, the pain aid. That's why it's called Power Plus Pain Aid. It's the world's first energizing pain reliever. You get more gain, less pain, drug-free pain relief, made in America, third-party tested. This is a Montana guy who is providing this product, and so it's great. I've been trying it myself, and it gives you that boost of energy, but also gives you those vitamins, particularly focused on relieving pain. Here's a special deal right now for all of our Montana Talks listeners. Go to drinkpowerplus.com, drinkpowerplus.com. You're going to get 15% off when you use this promo code. Use Flint15, Flint15, Flint15 at drinkpowerplus.com, and you'll get 15% off your order. So give it a shot. I think you're going to like it too. All right, here's some messages that came in on the Montana Talks app here. Sean in Shelby said this: thanks for having our Sheriff Padilla on, and a great call right after Tyler about the lawlessness of the Biden regime. I would like to add, every time that we need accountability, or it will continue in the future, there needs to be consequences. Sean, thanks for that message. Yeah, there needs to be consequences, not only for these illegal aliens, not only for the Tren de Aragua gang members, but there needs to be consequences for these federal officials in the Biden regime who allowed this invasion to occur in the first place. And I think that's what Sean is getting at. Morgan in Helena, I'm glad Morgan was listening in, because Morgan was the one who first raised this topic on the show, which generated a lot of talk as well. Morgan made this point. So you guys heard me when the sheriff mentioned how they just came across another illegal alien 2 days ago. The guy from Illinois, well, not from Illinois, he's from Mexico, but Illinois plates, came from Illinois. And when the sheriff said that they picked up this illegal alien, he had an ID card, but... And so then I was like, wait, what kind of ID card did he have? Because, again, a lot of people would assume, well, if somebody has an ID card, you know, especially something like a driver's license, right? You would assume, oh, well, of course they're here legally. Otherwise, how would they get a legal document? And that's when the sheriff told us, oh, well, he had a driver's license out of Illinois. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Morgan and Helena, do you guys remember Morgan and Helena? That's who, she was the one who told us how a Democrat legislator out of Bozeman is pushing a driver privilege card. Now, the Democrats will claim that, oh, this doesn't apply to illegal aliens. But I've read the bill. I've read the bill, and Representative Jody Etchart out of Billings is exactly right. And when I... And look, I'm just a caveman. I'm not a lawyer. But I read through the bill, and it very clearly looks to me like they have a wide-open loophole to where illegal aliens could get these so-called driver's privilege cards. And you remember, there was a handful of Republicans that voted for that in the State House of Representatives. So I would urge you to contact your state senators and tell them to kill the bill, which is the driver privilege card bill. And here we had just had a very clear example. Here was an illegal alien. How many years has he potentially been in this country now? Driving all across the country. Oh, look, I got my driver's license. So there's this assumption that he's legal when he's not. So great job by the Tooele County Sheriff's Office there, and of course working very closely with Border Patrol because they're, you know, co-located right there in Shelby and in Sunburst. All right, back to this story out of the U.S. Justice Department. The U.S. Justice Department surging resources to Indian country to investigate unresolved violent crimes. It's called Operation Not Forgotten. And by the way, this operation is something that President Trump started in his first term in office back in, you know, between 2016 and 2020. Of course, Joe Biden and the Democrats, they love to pander to Indian country, don't they? They've got all their left-wing liberal white guys like George Soros. They fund all these Western Native Voice. All the liberal white guys fund all these Native political groups, right? They're working against you. They want you to vote for them, but they're not helping you. They're actually causing harm in your communities. Yeah, Joe Biden. How come he wasn't focused on crime in Indian country? Oh, he was. He was focused on bringing the criminals to Indian country from Venezuela and all sorts of other places. But now President Trump surging law enforcement, the Justice Department surging law enforcement, FBI resources in here. 4,300 open investigations, 1,000 child abuse investigations, 900 death investigations, more than 500 domestic violence and adult sexual abuse investigations. Just from the FBI's Indian Country program alone, but yet Joe Biden had the FBI, 40% of the entire agent workforce, January 6th, January 6th.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, if you call in right now, I should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. We got a busy lineup tomorrow on the show. Of course, every Thursday during the legislative session, we feature our legislative update, Democrat and Republican leadership joining us on the show. Of course, we have a Senate President Matt Regeer and from the Republican side, and Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin every Thursday. So that will be coming up. Speaking of the legislature, I always like to give credit where credit's due, but here's one policy that I have. If I see a comment on Facebook and the conversation is set for a public conversation, then to me that says, okay, that's their permission to share this publicly. But if it's set to private or just among friends, then I typically won't just say, oh, so-and-so said on Facebook. Right. To me, that's just a fair way to treat that because, you know, we've all got a lot of different friends on Facebook and things like that. But somebody, a friend of mine on Facebook, raised a really good question. So the big story in the Montana Senate yesterday, Montana Senate bars Ellsworth from the floor for life, removes him from committees. So the Montana Senate has reached an agreement, this is from the Montana Television Network, to punish former Senate President Jason Ellsworth after an ethics investigation. But this this friend on Facebook asked a really good question. He's a former lawmaker. He was, you know, in this conversation with current lawmakers and others that were jumping in on the conversation. He asked a really good question. He says, why did they wait till now? Which is a very good question. Why did it happen yesterday? Because apparently they already had the opportunity to vote to expel him from the Senate. They already had the opportunity to censure him a while ago. When they already had they didn't really get any new information yesterday that they didn't already have a while ago when they already had the expulsion vote and the censure. So why did they wait until now? Were they waiting to get some things first? Did they need Medicaid expansion to get reauthorized first? Is that why? And so, yeah, because basically, look, at the end of the day, the reason why he wasn't expelled from the state Senate is because legislative Democrats voted not to expel him. Yeah, there was the handful of Republicans, the nine, also voted not to expel him. But at the end of the day, it was the Democrats who made sure that he wasn't expelled from the Senate. But in this censure vote, as I mentioned, he will be barred from committee assignments, and he is banned from the Senate floor for life, but still able to vote remotely, apparently. That censorship motion, by the way, brought by State Senator and Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery out of Billings. The expulsion motion fell well short of the two-thirds vote that it needed, failing 25-25. 23 Republicans and only two Democrats backed expulsion, while nine Republicans, including Ellsworth, and 16 Democrats opposed it. But you watch. This isn't a hard prediction to make here. You watch as the Senate Democrats will still try to criticize Republicans and somehow say that they're the ones who are responsible for an ethics controversy when they're the very ones who have voted not to have a greater level of accountability there. Anyway, I find that whole angle pretty fascinating. Let's see. I know we're short on time now, and there's always way too much to talk about here. Oh, I got to go back. I never read the quote from Kurt Almy, the U.S. attorney for Montana, the interim U.S. attorney. He was a U.S. attorney under President Trump's first term. He's now the acting U.S. attorney. A pending confirmation in the United States Senate. But what about, you know, the Trump administration and the Justice Department now surging resources into Montana and elsewhere to help out with Indian country? Let's see. Where is the Kurt Almy quote? Here we go. Well, first off, FBI Director Kash Patel, remember Kash Patel joined us on this show last summer. He says the FBI will manhunt violent criminals on all lands, and Operation Not Forgotten ensures a surge in resources to locate violent offenders on tribal lands and find those who have gone missing. Meanwhile, U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy said this: "We are very pleased that the FBI is dispatching additional resources to the Salt Lake City Division, which covers Montana, to assist our ongoing efforts to find missing indigenous persons and hold violent offenders accountable. I want to thank the agents already working on these cases in Montana from both the FBI and the BIA's Missing and Murdered Unit, together with the tribal community response plans facilitated by DOJ for each Montana reservation community and DOJ's MMIP Regional Outreach Program. This deployment will help address this critical problem. Missing and murdered indigenous people will not be forgotten." That's from Trump's appointed acting U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy. So, look, it just shows once again everything that President Trump is doing to secure this country, to defend this country, Indian country included, and also why we need to continue to remove the threat, which is the criminal illegal aliens.